All right, welcome back to Ask a Pastor. Still, we cling on the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember, this is not a prayer program, neither is it a program for you to call in for marriage counseling or for prophetic ministration and things like that. It's just us receiving biblical questions and giving biblical answers. And my name is Brother Gustin Chukwuebuka Uba, and I want to use this opportunity to remind us that you can join us through Zoom and then connect with us, sending your questions. Still with us right here is Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. You're welcome again.
All right, so
fire your questions. I will fire the answer back.
All right, so we have questions coming in. Okay, this is coming in from Libya. It says, Shalom, sir. I'm a minister in RCCG Libya, Tripoli headquarters. Sir, I had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ 11 years ago when he called me his watchman and told me he will take me to the north to cry out his coming to his elect, and also asked me to marry first before these things can be. But I never understood this revelation. Couple of years back, I found myself in Libya, which I went looking for a place to worship God, and I ended up being with Redeem, RCCG, among Catholic, Anglican, and Union Church, approved by late Gaddafi. Sir, there, the Spirit of God started using me, especially in the teaching ministry, and lots of people started coming to me as a Sunday school teacher. But the senior pastor noticed it and refused me to preach on the altar because he's based on prosperity, while I'm based on end time salvation teaching. Shortly after, he systematically collected the Sunday school teaching and handed it over to a woman, which for a long time I'm just minister by post, but not functioning. And now the senior pastor and his assistant has been captured by top Libyan intelligence authority for 3 months. Now, not hearing from that, and the wife of the pastor is scattering the church, and lots of members have left, which she claims that Adeboye sent she and her husband on the mission. So none of us have the right to correct her for mismanagement of the church. So already I have caught the same revelation which Jesus called me, and through your ministry and the Temple TV, and lots of people within are fleeing the same and kept on coming to me to baptize them in the name of Jesus. But because I'm still under RCCG, I couldn't act against their authority, and my spirit troubled me day and night. So my question is, how can I come out of this denomination peacefully? They advised me because few months ago I received a military general uniform from Kumuyi, an other top apostolic general, which few days my senior pastor called me to it, that he saw me coming to all full of top pastors, and Adeboye asked his wife to stand up for me to sit among great men of God. But he interpreted it that God will open new prosperity doors for me, and I wasn't convinced because I know what it means. And last month I received a flaming fire wink from God of Israel in my revelation, and now I feel in my spirit it's time to move. But the senior pastor is in custody, and I don't have good relationship with his wife. Please, sir, what should I do? Also, can I baptize people at the beach or pool? Because Libya doesn't have rivers. From Brother Wilfred Eha Horo from Libya.
This is a very, very difficult question. Because it will be very, very difficult for me to answer you sincerely. But I can't help but being sincere with you. As difficult as it is. First, the last question, you can baptize anywhere. Here in Lagos, we have a pool. Mm-hmm. We baptize in a pool. We created in a church compound here. And I think I went to, is it UK? In mm-hmm. UK or so. Mm-hmm. I think in London, we baptize in a pool. So you can baptize in a pool for sure, yes. We also create pools.
He was talking of the like beach and the pools. Yeah.
Beach, yes. I baptized in a beach in Athens, in Greece. Okay. So the beach that I baptized there. Yeah, sure. Even in Lagos, yeah, before we create our, we are going to the beach to baptize. So the important is that it is a body of water, and I should bury whoever you are putting there, you know, whether it's in your room or anywhere. Okay. Now, I don't know what is actually confusing you. If God has called you into the ministry, then I don't know why you are getting yourself confused. They are as if they have engaged and they are paying you salary there. Maybe they are paying him salary there. Maybe they have employed you. You have since known that you don't belong there. So please, why are you finding it difficult to leave? Was it difficult to join them? Did you sign agreement and the contract and vow and the covenant? Mm-hmm. Why is it difficult? Why do people find it difficult to leave a place when there is need to leave? So you are serving God and not any organization. Follow the leading of God in your life and stop this thing you are doing. Leave that place because your time is up. When God wanted you there, you were there. Now God wants you out. You see the setting. You don't even have to wait for a voice to say leave. The setting is such that you know you cannot use the grace around you. So why not either go and start your own, if they will give you license to start your own, or you know, you at least leave them and they serve God in the way God will lead you. God bless you.
All right, one thing he kept repeating was how to live peacefully.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. I said, did you go there? Is it not peacefully you entered? The same way you enter, you leave.
Okay.
Go and meet the pastor and then tell him, oh, I've left about 3 or 4 churches before Bride Assembly started.
Mm.
And when it's time to move, I go to the pastor, exercise my freedom to worship my God anywhere I like.
Mm-hmm.
And if because I left you, you are angry with me, as long as I didn't do anything bad, I'm not holding your property, and after leaving, I am not scattering your place or drawing people away from you to me, I don't care. You can say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I move my life forward.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop me from going to heaven. You can't even take me to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the problem?
All right. God bless you. Okay. This is Shalom and greetings from Cameroon. I heard the pastor in one of his teachings state that the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6 refers to descendants of Seth. I agree with him on that if he's referring to verse 2 of Genesis chapter 6. But in the light of further revelation, I think the sons of God in Revelation, in verse 4 rather, is referring to fallen angels. The Bible says that when they came into the daughters of men, the women gave birth to giants, and these giants became a threat to the children of Israel. In verse 2, the sons of God were married to the daughters of men, but in verse 4, okay, they just came into them. The two scenarios are not the same, as these giants are a result of a mixed marriage between sons of Seth and daughters. Okay, are these giants a result of a mixed marriage between sons of Seth and daughters of Cain?
Certainly, you have answered it.
Okay.
The mark of Cain, the mark that God gave Cain, that will make nobody to be able to kill him at that time, certainly would have been, if God has the ability to turn an animal serpent, an upright creature, into a crawling creature, he also has the ability to turn Cain to a giant.
Okay.
He was a giant, and at that time, remember his face-to-face fight.
Yeah.
So no man would be able to attack him because he was already a giant. Mm. So that was his protection.
Okay.
That the children that will come from him, certainly they will be giants too.
Mm.
They will also have that gene in them.
Mm.
And therefore, the last statement he made is a perfect picture.
Okay.
Angels don't have the ability to procreate.
Yes, sir.
The Lord Jesus said so.
Mm.
They are spirits, and the spirit cannot mate with a physical person and produce anything. So there's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
All right, question two from the same person says, if a believer marries an unbeliever, do they give birth to giants? I was still referring to,
I've explained.
That has been explained. So question three, Apostle Paul tells us not to separate from our unbelieving partners. Therefore, marriage between two people, whether godly or ungodly, could not produce giants. And that alone will not cause God to destroy the former world. still trying to refer to this thing. Okay, it seems that verse 4 of Genesis 6 is speaking of fallen angels who took up human bodies to corrupt. All this has been answered. So God bless you. Let's move on to other questions as they come. God bless you. Let's move on to other questions as they come. There's a question that we have here, and it's saying from dear pastor, you had said during one of your sermons that it is not the duty of the man to be the breadwinner of the family, but it was only tradition. Please explain that in comparison to 1 Timothy 5 verse 8.
Read that question again.
You have said in one of your teachings that it is not the duty of the man to be the breadwinner.
That statement is wrong. I didn't say so.
Okay.
I said it is not his only duty. That is, he's not the only one that will be the breadwinner.
Okay.
It's not solely his responsibility to be the breadwinner.
Okay.
That the woman too can contribute to, you know, the finances of the church, to the well-being of that family, mm-hmm. and there's a security.
Okay.
What if something happens to the man? Mm-hmm. Then that's why widows in this part of the world suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to sit down there. Now you're making reference to a wrong scripture. Read it. First Timothy
5 verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
It is that scripture. What that scripture means is not talking about a man that cannot take care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
That scripture, read it in its proper context very well from verse 3. Let's get
it from verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusted in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
Uh-huh.
And these things give in charge that they may be blameless.
Now what from verse 8?
But if any provide not for his own.
If any provide not for his own.
Especially for those.
If any provide not for his own. Go on.
And especially for those of his own house.
For those of his own house.
He had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
You see now. Go on, read on.
Let not a widow be taken into the number under three scores years old,
mm-hmm.
having been the wife of one man,
uh-huh.
well reported of for good works,
uh-huh.
if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work.
Now, I give you all the qualification. Then go to verse 16.
Verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth have widows.
If anyone that man
or woman that believeth.
Woman that if you are a believer and you have widows, that is, you are a relation to any widow.
Uh-huh. Let them relieve them,
uh-huh.
and let not the church be charged,
uh-huh.
that it may relieve them that are widows indeed.
So what he's saying here is, don't bring widows to the church when you have relatives that can take care of the widows.
Mm.
And then verse 8 now comes in. But if any provide not for his own, his own widows,
mm.
if you cannot take care of the widows in your house, your own related to you, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unbeliever.
Yes,
so it's not saying that a man that cannot provide for the one of his household is worse than an infidel. That is wrong.
Mm.
That scripture is not the scripture for it. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. So we have more questions coming in. Okay, we have a call. A call from Brother Wesley from Gombe State. Brother Wesley, God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Shalom, please go on with your question.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
So my question is about grace.
Okay.
So can someone have the grace to heal the sick and at the same time he cannot be able to cast off demon, because over times I used to pray for a sick, and instantly there has been a sign that I always receive when I am praying for the sick, and it has never failed. But it happened that when I meet one lady and she narrated her story that she's suffering from the torment of a demon that possessed her with epilepsy. So I feel sorry for her, and I was tempted to pray for her. So when praying, I received the same sign I used to receive when praying for the sick. But after that, I see there is no result yet. So what could be the problem of which are not producing results, despite the fact that I received the sign that I used to receive?
For that is for only this case, correct?
Yes, sir.
For only this case, or has it ever happened again on any case?
No, sir. This is the first time I attempted to deliver somebody. But I have not seen any result. I thought whether I don't have a grace to cast out the.
But you say you saw. But you say you still felt the sign.
Yes, I received a sign that when I pray for the sick. But on confronting the demon, this is the first time I attempted.
Now let me explain something to you, Brother Wesley.
Okay, sir.
Now that sign that you have, each time you have that sign, you know that case is settled.
Okay.
Now, when you pray and you feel that sign and you pray for the person, what you are supposed to do is to know that God has answered. Now God can answer immediately.
Okay.
And God can answer after some time. And
okay.
Also through your prayers, God can lead her to something she will do that she will not receive healing, and it could take some time or it could be very immediate. But you are to confidently know that is it. There is a woman, maybe if you were watching our program, she still testified yesterday. Sister Happiness, she testified during the Friday vigil. I noted, she said she suffered that infirmity of blood something, pulse rate or something like that. She said they have been praying for her, and that she came for me for prayers, and I prayed with her. She came a second time and I prayed with her, and she said when she came again, I met her and I told her, God has already healed you. What are you coming for? Go, you are healed. But she was still feeling it. Now, but by the gift that I have, I know when I pray through, I know when a case is settled. And when I say it is settled, it is settled. So I told her, I'm not watching the sign. I'm not watching her, symptoms. I know she's healed. It's not said, the Lord, you are healed. And I look at her. And when I spoke like that, she said she went home. And then she discovered that a few days after, she was not feeling the thing again. And then till date, how many months now since June or so, she said, she's not felt the thing again. Something she suffered for how long? So your own is pray, and then you go. There are a lot of people I have prayed for that I don't even know, unless they come and testify. I pray, I say it's over, and they leave. They may still be limping and going, but I know that they may sleep and not and wake up and not see it again. So that means you're supposed to also mix what manifestation you have with faith.
Okay, sir.
Yes, God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir. Yes.
God bless you, brother.
I still want to beg you, sir, if you have a small time, sir, because I have been having so many experiences, and I don't know anybody that will help me close to me to put me through to understand those things better. So I know that you are always busy, sir, but if you can just squeeze some more times.
I think you are in touch with one of the pastors in Jos.
Yeah. Sir?
You are in touch with one of the pastors in Jos.
Yes, sir.
Who is that? Which pastor?
Sir?
Which pastor in Jos?
I know of Pastor Fiala, sir. So there are many questions that I asked him, but he has never asked me that I get it clear. So I don't think he will not be of help to me.
Okay. Can I give you the phone number of our pastor in Jos, Pastor Osas?
Okay, sir.
Yeah, so that anytime you're not able to get me, get him to. He is also a prophet, and he is very spiritual too. Case anybody else is hearing me.
And I always hoping to be in Lagos one day, sir.
I look forward to seeing you too. Now,
if you are taking it,
Pastor Osas is the pastor of the Bride Assembly Church in Jos. 0806-766-9090.
Okay, sir.
I call it again, Pastor Osas in Jos, Plateau State. 0806-766-9090.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
So you can call that, and any other person watching from around Jos, feel free to call them. You want to be baptized, you want to correct your water baptism, you want prayers and whatever it is, the brother is gifted.
Okay, sir.
He's gifted, full of grace.
Thank you so much, sir.
And a very humble brother too. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right, God bless you, Brother Wesley from Gombe State. Wonderful having you online. All right, so back to the questions, and this is Brother Obina from Lagos State, Nigeria. Says, Shalom, sir. We bless God for this grace and opportunity to ask questions and receive insights and revelation. Sir, please, could you explain the process of being born again as elaborated in Ezekiel 26, verse 24 to 27? I think that should probably be 36. Yes. So is it a process or an instantaneous thing? What is the difference between the heart and the spirit, and what happens to the soul? Let's first start with the first question. Based on Ezekiel 36, 24 to 27, is it a process or an instantaneous thing?
It is a process.
Okay.
Now, but how long it takes is dependent on God.
Okay.
Can happen immediately, and then you receive the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
And it can take some time before you finally receive the Holy Ghost. But it is a process from one stage to the other.
Okay. All right. Question two from the same person, Brother Obina from Lagos State, says, what is the difference between the heart and the spirit, and what happens to the soul?
In what context? Because there is the heart as a part of the body, physical part of the body.
Okay.
But if you're looking at it in the context of Ezekiel 36, is talking about your mind. That is why it means the heart. The heart there is your mind. That is where all issues of life come from. And when that, that is where your conscience is also produced. So that is the mind. And then what did he say again?
Depends between the heart and the spirit, and what happens to the soul.
Yeah, the spirit and the soul. There is no soul there. It is spirit. The spirit is actually your make, the real you, and the life. That is the life. The life. The soul is. That is the nature of the spirit. The nature of the spirit. So I really don't know how to put it, but we're talking about conversion. When the spirit is converted, the soul is converted. When the spirit is not changed, the soul remains like that. The nature of the spirit.
All right, question three. Is my old spirit removed and a new spirit or version given to me.
Is
still referring to Ezekiel 36.
Is what?
My old spirit removed and a new spirit or version is given to me. Is there a new version of the old spirit that is given to me, or is a new spirit that is
given? It's a new nature. It's a nature. It's cleaned up.
Okay.
It's cleaned up so that the old spirit is contaminated with all that you have been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit has to be changed to be able to receive from God.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, question going on. So, at what point does the Holy Ghost come in?
When it's there in Ezekiel 36 now.
Yes.
When the new heart is changed to a heart of flesh and the new spirit is given, then the spirit of God comes within and works with your spirit, and you and the spirit of God become one.
Amen.
That's all.
All right. God bless you, Brother Obina from Lagos State, Nigeria. All right. We still have other questions coming in, and this is from Sister Lillian from Nasarawa State, Nigeria. Says, good evening, sir. Please, how old was Prophet Samuel when he first heard from God as a child? And the Bible passage, please, sir.
I will have to look for it. I don't know. I don't remember how old. What has that got to do with your Bible study? You want to know when he was called? You want to know when he was called, or what? Eh? How old?
I don't think that was really stated. Except we want to start going through
into history, Bible history. Yes. Yes. I was not trying to cross-check theology,
yeah.
And as I try to cross-check, I am seeing here, but I've not seen
scripture
that backs it up,
yeah.
That Samuel was about 11 years old.
Okay.
Yes.
When
God called him, when he heard the voice of God, he was about 11 years old.
Okay.
I don't know how they came across that, because the history here is citing the first century Jewish historian, Josephus, what's that his name? And I have the book here. This is the history of the complete works of Josephus. Josephus, it's a Jewish historian. That is it here. He is one of the acclaimed Jewish historians that has placed so many of the history of the Jews perspective. I have a copy of it.
Okay.
And he is the one that stated that according to their history, Samuel was 11 years old.
Okay.
God bless you. Okay, what's the next question?
All right, so next question as we have it. All right, good evening, Pastor. My name is Brother Esank Joseph from Lagos. My question goes like this. There are only two birthdays recorded in the Bible, King Herod and Pharaoh's. These two men were not Christians. No man of God recorded history of their birthdays. Even Jesus never celebrated his birthdays. Why do Christians or followers of Christ celebrate birthdays, especially when we know no Christians of old celebrated theirs? Shalom, Brother Joseph from Lagos State. Only two birthdays recorded in the Bible, and that is Pharaoh and Herod. And both men were not Christians. They were not believers of God.
How did... When they mention this one was so,
yes, he gave birth, and
but the Bible says that it teaches us to number our days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me quickly give an advice to Bible students, especially we in the restoration ministry, with the end time message, as we call ourselves. Listen very well, we are talking about one doing things. Contrary, stop doing anything contrary to the Bible. If it is already in the Bible, he said, stop doing anything contrary, come out of anything that is error, anything that does not go with the Bible, that goes contrary to anything in the Bible, or there's a commandment against it in the Bible. Properly interpreted, properly applied. That is what we're talking about. That if you have the Holy Ghost, he will lead you to all fruit. Now, listen. Whatever we do, provided it is giving glory to God. There is nothing wrong about me giving thanks and giving glory and celebrating that God has kept me alive up to this age that I am in. There is no doctrine, no commandment against it. And that nobody celebrated it in the times of Christ does not now stop us also from celebrating it. There are many things that we are doing today that is not in the Bible. Take for instance, there was no church building where we build church, do launching, get money and buy land and own this and own. They are moving from place to place, you know, when the church began. But as time went on in history, we are where we are today, and there is need for you to have a place of your own and make it comfortable for your worship. So that there is a way you'll be so legalistic that before you know what, you'll find yourself living again under some restringent laws that have nothing to do with the liberty of a Christian. Nothing is wrong with giving glory to God that you are alive, but celebrate it in such a way that God, it becomes God-centered. It gives God glory. Thank you.
All right. Okay, we have other questions coming in. Okay, we have a call, and this is from Brother Michael. Brother Michael from Lagos State. Shalom and God bless you.
Shalom, sir. Good evening, sir.
God bless you, sir.
So I want to ask a question about this palm kernel oil.
Okay.
Now, when you apply it on a baby.
Yes.
When, like, the mother is going out, applying it on the baby's head. There's no anybody, anything that wants to happen, like, let's say, somebody that wants to possess the baby.
Okay.
With any evil spirit, the baby will shout.
Okay.
So I want to understand, concerning this situation, how would you place it side by side with the Bible?
Okay, I'll
be praying for the child, just apply the oil on the baby's head, and just take the baby out. Not to happen to the baby. If anybody wants to possess the baby with any spirit, it will not happen.
Okay.
I want to understand how you place this with the Bible. Thank you, sir.
Is it a Bible doctrine? Brother Michael? Michael has to get back online.
Michael, are you still with us?
Because I didn't see such in the Bible.
He's not saying it, but he's right to say, how do we place it in the Bible?
You place what is in the Bible in the Bible now. There's nowhere that says you should use palm kernel for baby delivery or baby anything. It's medicinal.
Yeah.
It's medical, you know, whether it's traditional medicine or Western medicine.
Yeah.
It's medical. It has nothing to do with, there's no spirituality attached to that. It's medicinal. Mm. Just like say, where is it when I'm having pains in my head? Where can I place Panadol in the Bible so that I take painkiller? There's no such thing.
Okay, we still have other questions coming, and this is Shalom again, Pastor Moses. It's Brother Merritt from London. Please, these two verses below contradicting each other. Are they contradicting each other? And that is Ezekiel 18:20. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. And Exodus 25, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Also, trusting God, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 12:2. Now consider the case of Job. After commissioning Satan to ruin Job financially and to slaughter his shepherds and children to win a petty bet with Satan, God asked Satan, "Had thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he doeth fast his integrity, although thou moveth me against him to destroy him without cause?" I think the first two is understandable, where it says, please, are these two verses below contradicting each other? That is Ezekiel 18:20 and Exodus 25.
Okay, the last one is saying, trusting God. He said also, trusting God.
Okay, trusting God.
A good man obtaineth favor
of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
And then considering the case of Job.
So remember also that we are created for his pleasure.
Okay.
We are created and we are called to fulfill his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
and he can use you to fulfill that. He used Job to fulfill a purpose. Mm-hmm. You call it a petty bet. Mm. That is sacrilegious to use that terminology.
Yeah.
It's sacrilegious to use that terminology for your God.
Mm.
To use the word petty bet. He can't bet with Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He was only going to prove to Satan that there are people that will worship him under any condition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there, that story is there, for example, for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that he will still reward you
mm-hmm.
after you have proved your point.
Mm-hmm.
Proved the point, proved your faith before him. Now, Ezekiel 18,
20.
Mm-hmm. And Exodus 20,
verse 5.
Now, Exodus 20, verse 5, came long before Ezekiel 18,
yes.
verse 20. That is progressive light.
Yes, sir.
That is God himself progressing. God is shifting from judgment and showing his mercy more and more.
Mm.
So you want to know, that is why studying God, at the time that is how he was doing it, and later on, he progressed in showing his mercy.
Okay.
Moses was not wrong. And then Ezekiel came to correct him.
Okay.
As Abel Damina once said. No, Ezekiel was not correcting Moses. It's just progressive revelation.
Okay.
God himself moving in his mercy.
Okay.
Until, while we are yet sinners, he can even pay the bride price for you. And yet it's a God of mercy, it's also a God of judgment.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Merritt. God bless you, Brother Merritt from London. All right, we have other questions coming. And this is from Sister Florence from South Africa. Says, Shalom, shalom, shalom. Good evening, Pastor and my beloved brother. We say shalom to you as well. Please, Pastor, I have been sick for a while, unable to pray and study. I felt very bad about it, and in the night, I get more attacks as I am unable to pray. But I am too weak to pray because of my ill health. Please, Pastor, what do I do in situations like this? This is Florence from
South
Africa.
Where you are unable to pray.
Yes.
And
she's receiving attack because she feels it's also because she's unable to pray because of her health.
No, when you think that the reason why you will not be attacked is because you pray too much, then God will allow you to reach a situation where it is not because you pray too much, but it is his mercy. The most powerful prayer anybody can pray is, Lord, have mercy on me.
Amen.
And if you really say from your heart, and you ask for mercy when you are in a situation where you can't help yourself. So when you are sick, you cannot pray as you ought to pray. You cannot even study, you cannot do anything. But if you are able to just say, Lord, have mercy on me, it is a powerful prayer. Change your prayer to asking for mercy.
Mm.
And these attacks will stop.
Mm.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you. So the last question for today, and that's from Delta State, Nigeria. Bright from Delta State, from Warri, Delta State, Nigeria. Says, Shalom, sir. What are foreign gods, and can we as Christians still put on what was referred to as foreign gods?
Anything foreign, it means it is external.
Mm.
Okay. Anything foreign is external.
Mm-hmm.
And another word for foreign is strange.
Yes, sir.
Strange gods.
Yeah.
That is gods that is not known, you know, among us. Foreign is foreign to us. That is, it does not belong. It belongs to some other persons, some other culture, some other tradition. Mm-hmm. But where we belong, it is not our own.
Yes, sir.
It is foreign. You don't accept it. What did he say? What's the question again?
It was saying.
What last statement, that question?
Okay, can we as Christians still put on what was referred to as foreign gods?
No, foreign is foreign. We're in this world, but not of the world. And we should know how we associate with this world.
Okay.
So things that are not known among you, you should not put it on.
Mm-hmm.
Strange is strange.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jacob. Jacob in Genesis chapter 35.
Okay.
Genesis chapter 35 is a popular story we all refer to quite often.
Yeah.
And verse 1.
Verse 1.
Yeah, verse 1.
And God said unto Jacob, And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob.
Now see the strange things. So now they gave.
And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods.
All those idols that they have.
Which were in their hand. And all their earrings.
Because among them, wearing a ring was not for Jacob and his family. Israelites don't wear earrings.
Which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem.
So these are some of it. He called them strange. That is, they are foreign. You picked it from the land, strange lands. You have picked them from Egypt, picked them from the worldly people. We are in this world, but not of this world. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are pilgrims and strangers here on earth with Abraham. Looking forward to that city of God.
Amen.
And we shall soon go there. So let's not pick too many things here and carry them along. Strange gods, they create problem for us. Because if you read further, the next verse.
Verse 5.
Yes.
And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob.
But you know that earlier on, they left with Laban's gods, and Laban pursued them.
Came after them.
And that is one of the reasons why some of us suffer from a lot of demons, demonic attack, because you have their property, they will come around you. You have them on your head. You have them in your ear. You have them in your nose. You have them everywhere. You wear them. They are your wardrobe. They are everywhere. Yes, they will come there because you have their property. Have their property.
Yes, sir.
But when you put them away, then they have no more link with you. They won't even come near you. You don't even need prayers.
Yes, sir.
You know, we see that a perfect example with this.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We'll call it a day right here. And we want to bless the Lord for making it possible. And we're using this opportunity to thank every one of you, as well as those who have been walking behind the scene, and to every financier of the Bright TV, keeping us right on air 24/7. We'll say God bless you and God bless you and God bless you once more. Before we go, I'm sure the pastor wants to make some words of declaration over each and every one of us, wherever you are.
Wherever you are, I bless you this moment in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That whatever is your need, because you have sacrificed these moments to be in the presence of the Lord, study His word to know Him better, the Lord will grant all your heart desire. He will honor your faith. He will increase your faith to trust Him the more through the testimonies He'll be giving you every day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there be any evil hand of the enemy upon you, it is cut off in the name of Jesus Christ. If there be any manipulations of the enemy around you, the Lord shall put an end to it today in the name of Jesus Christ. If there be any infirmity upon you, I decree that you will sleep this night and you will not wake up with it. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. For the healing hands of God shall come upon you. Receive your healing. Receive your deliverance from every demonic oppression in the name of Jesus. Every door of blessing has been closed against you. Today it is opened in the name of Jesus Christ. That your expectations shall manifest speedily, speedily. I declare that this month shall be your month of unusual favor, divine favor, unstoppable favor in the name of Jesus Christ. You remain blessed because you are blessed of the Lord. No one can curse whom God has blessed. And if God be for you, who will be against you? As you remain hidden under the wings of the protection of the Almighty God, I say none of the environmental dangers shall come near you. Kidnappers, demonic attack, arrows of the enemy, accident, poisons, and all these deadly viruses around shall not come near you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You remain blessed and blessed forever in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.